B-Pod Studios.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
With second down looming from midfield, Matthew Sletter taking up his familiar pose in victory formation as Brady drops to the knee. Razor sharp all day long here at Gillette. The Patriots quarterback threw for 343 yards, and the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year,
yep,
as they will meet in the AFC Championship game next Sunday in Kansas City.
Beat the Chargers and absolutely manhandled them yesterday in Foxborough for a win. A blowout win. The score does not tell you the story of that game because the game was over at halftime. Over. Chargers were dead, and I think they knew it. They scored a little bit in the second half, but that was not a competitive football game after that first half was over. It was dead. They were done. Pack your bags up. Get the hell out of here. The game lasted far too long. Second half, it felt like it was carrying on forever.
9 minutes left, and it was almost the three-hour mark.
Oh, get the game over with, please. This thing had been over. It had been over since halftime. And so I don't blame people if they bailed on that second half at certain points. You know?
Rivers ended up less than 50%, didn't he? I think he did.
Yeah.
He took it to him, man.
Why'd the Patriots win?
Rivers ended up being 25 of 51 on the day.
Not good. Why'd they win?
I think they won because they set the tone early with the offense.
They did. They set the tone. They played from ahead.
And the offense just buried them.
Great game plan offensively.
Allowed you to do things. Now, we're not, again, not taking away from how good the damn defense was because it was complimentary. But you go out there and you roll the dice as a defense, man, a little bit differently when you're up 21. You do. Okay, maybe we don't call as many cover zeros when it's a tie game.
No.
It's late. Of course you don't.
No.
Play more conservative.
Here, take all the time you need.
Yeah.
Do whatever it is. Yeah, come on. Yes. No, you don't play defense like you would if it were a tight game.
You knew it right away. We're going to be better on offense. We love this matchup. Okay. We know this coordinator's not going to change. We win the toss. We're taking it. I won't hold
that second half against the defense for giving up points at all. But what we can all admit is that the defense really probably didn't feel the pressure of the game all that much. They played well.
No, I disagree. Okay. Because I thought, you know, you go down, as good as you felt about that opening drive, they come back and score in 2.5 minutes on a double move. And he smoked Gilmore.
Can I read a tweet that just dropped?
Oh, wow. This can't be a shootout, can it?
Can I read you a tweet?
Good.
Desmond King has tweeted in the last minute. Thank you, God, for an amazing journey and an even better organization. I would like to apologize to the Bolt family and all of my fans for not having a positive impact on the game yesterday.
Holy Jesus.
But I love my brothers, and we fought hard all season, and we will be back, all caps. What a stand-up guy.
Rivers said, like, the same thing as Podium, too. Like, you could say that, you know, my fire and that, and it could have cost us, but you know what? We win together, we lose together. We've won a lot of games together, and here's what I know. We fought till the end. We're going to fight for 60 minutes. And I'm like, why are you calling timeouts? Get the ball back. And they kept moving it. There's something to be said for that. It didn't help you yesterday. It could help you tomorrow, next year down the road. That's a damn good tweet.
It's pretty good.
Kid landed and understood reality. He was bad yesterday.
And he knows it. And he admits it. And he apologizes for it. No apologize. Excuses. Apologize, Desmond King.
Times you get that where you get a Baltimore Jet player and they're blaming a call or a coach or you know, the refs.
He's putting it squarely on himself.
Right.
The Patriots game plan offensively. Josh McDaniels, you briefly mentioned this earlier. Do you think there are teams that are regretting not taking a longer look at Josh McDaniels based on the Patriots being so smart offensively yesterday?
You could, but at some point you want to set your organization. The problem is, like, you know, Miami can't touch Flores. You can't even talk to him. I know maybe he's assembling stuff, and we'll talk about that and getting stuff together. But you want to get up and running. You want to get going. You want to get going on next year. You got off-season planning. You got to get ready for the combine. If you're ready to hire somebody and, I don't know. You could save money hiring somebody else and going younger. You know, the whole McVay factor. I heard today, like, they're selling tickets. They got a cardboard cutout of McVay. You could lick it for $5. You go up there and kiss the cutout.
That's interesting.
Take a picture with it. It's like Disney World.
That's interesting. I thought the Patriots.
I'm so tired of the McVay talk.
Just did exactly what they knew they should have done, which is, hey, there's going to be a lot of short stuff available. There's going to be a lot of catches to James White. Big James White day, as many of us predicted. Big day for James White.
It's almost like
big day for Julian Edelman. If we knew this, the Chargers should have known this.
Did they? Do they view the Chargers like the same way as
we
the Texans?
We knew this.
Do you think this internally? Like we'll never hear it. But like we look at the Chargers, and I felt, hey, second best team in the AFC. You know, like they're in a spot. They screwed up not beating Baltimore at home. They'd be number one overall damn seed. We could sit here and bitch about the Miami game. You finish that. You're hosting the game here Sunday night. Yeah. But it's not. Do they look at it internally as, that's the same damn team from last year. We know Rivers. We know where he's going to be. We'll play against the bigger receivers than the little speedy guys. Like, we match up better defensively that way. We know we could do to them. Offensively, We know they ain't going to take care of the backs.
Tom Brady attempted 44 passes yesterday. Do you know how many of them were targeted for either Edelman or White? Do you know the number?
I'm going to go 32.
30. 30 of the 44 pass attempts.
That's about what it felt like.
Were to White and Edelman. It was the White and Edelman show. Here, James White, go get open in the flat, and Edelman just run across the middle of the field because these dopes can't cover you because they're going to lose you in the zone. Like, it's not a genius plan, but it's just doing what's smart, taking what they're giving you, working your way down the field, and just doing it over and over and over again to the tune of 35 points
like,
in the first half.
It's like throwing 7-on-7. It's like throwing on 7-on-7 when you get a release as a receiver.
And
you get up into your route without any contact or bumping you off. Now in the back of your head, you're thinking, okay, I'm knocked off route. Now I need to adjust it because Tom wants me at 7, but I can't get to 7. I got to cut it at 5. No, free range.
And Gus Bradley and the Chargers were happy to play along, which is just mind-blowingly stupid. But the Patriots knew it.
They knew it.
They knew this was going to happen.
I'll find the exact numbers, but we talked about run-pass ratio when so-and-so is on the field.
Right.
The lack of adjustments. Sony Michel, when he was on the field, they ran the ball.
He caught that one check down. We're like, uh-oh.
85% of the time.
Yeah.
And when James White was on the field, they passed the ball like 96% of the time yesterday. I'll find the exact numbers, but those are about ballpark range. That
bonehead, lack of adjustments.
Sony Michel only played 34 snaps.
And he carried on 24 of them.
But they, yeah.
When he's in the game, they're going to hand it off to him. It's a pretty solid bet. If he's in the game, good chance he gets the ball.
Well, it's not. It's play action. And nothing you can do about it. Block it.
Good chance he's
But they
in
threw
there.
The ball to him, like you said, so once.
Once, first drive.
The first so, drive.
First drive, they
thinking.
Showed it.
That got them thinking a little bit, and then the rest of the game, nope, just run.
Yep.
Let's talk about Sony Michel and the day that he had, and also get to your calls on the game. After the action update, it's brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
A field goal. For the most part, that's the opening spread, with the home teams favored to win next Sunday's NFL Conference Championships. The Patriots will be catching 3 visiting Kansas City. At half of Nevada's major bookmakers, you bet $110 to win $100. But you get a $5 or $10 break on your wager if you bet at one of the other half. At most shops here for the NFC title game, you can get even money if you bet the Rams and take the 3 points at New Orleans. Or you can catch that break and get as much as even money if you bet the Saints and lay 3.5. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
From the right hash, behind James Devlin, with Hogan left and Edelman right. Brady turns, gives to Michel, runs up the middle, pushing the pile, driving his way into the end zone! Touchdown!
this kid has been special through two quarters. The extra surge, the leg turn. This is what we thought the kid has. You know, the leg power. You saw it at Georgia. You saw it on the breakaway run earlier. But Gronkowski off the edge, he hits the backer, and it's James Devlin. He gets up behind, and then they just get behind him and push him in. Third touchdown of the day, divisional round.
We got to check. Mass is probably already called out for Monday. What a run. What a run by number 26.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub across the country on NBC Sports Boston. It's a re-entry Monday here on the show. Maz, what'd you think of Sony Michel? You got an opening thought on that?
I do, Mike. He was good. He was good yesterday. Now, we had some fun last week with it, but, I mean, there were some holes you and I could have run through. All you had to do was, you heard Zoe there on the call, and thanks for the shot there, Zoe, during the broadcast. All you had to do is get on Devlin's fat ass and follow him up through the hole. You'd drive a truck through it. This game to me, Mike, was really more about the offensive line and not the running backs. The line protected Brady. They took the ball. They started themselves in a running game up front. But I still don't like him not dropping a shoulder. There's some runs in there, about three of them, where he came up to the line of scrimmage. There was contact. And all you got to do is fall down and you get 3 yards. And what? Negative? Zero? Any National Football League running back should never have a negative run. I followed him.
He said we're going to get it.
He knew he was going to get it.
What do you think?
I think it's part of it. I mean, the line was great.
They were.
Yeah, I know.
Can I tell you where I think Sony Michel maybe broke some new ground? There were runs in the red zone that were good runs.
The weaving.
Goal line runs. Where he had good runs.
Well, what'd he do?
Not on the first drive. He got his ass stuffed on that first drive.
Right. Well, there are times he gets his ass stuffed. And I think, like, to their point, too, you want him to drop the shoulder mark. I think we know he's not that guy. He's not Todd Gurley. He's not Zeke. You know, you're talking about guys that are top 10 picks. I know he's a first rounder, and people are going to always hold that against him, but that's what you do with first round picks. A little more critical of him, and I understand that. But he's a cutback slash runner. He's not going to run your ass over.
No.
But his vision back door is pretty damn good, and he looks to get the daylight. I thought the best run he had was that red zone one where he gets up through that first level, and then he starts to bob and weave. He could see the angles, the safeties are that's a good tackle on defense. Those two safeties, they could tackle. Corners are big. And his ability to weave and run, and I thought he was very conscious of doing this, and I know you could see it on the simulcast. It's two hands over the football and lowering the head. They're not going to run you over, but when I hit contact, that ball ain't coming out. That's a slippery
football on a
day like that.
He took a lot of contact yesterday, and when he did, I was nervous that he might cough one up.
I think we all are because of the history of Georgia.
There was no sign of that.
But that days like that is what proves differently. And he's going to need to do that more next week, man.
I thought he was better in the red zone yesterday than what he has been this season.
The team was better in the red zone.
I thought he broke some new ground there in terms of the red zone runs because the yards per carry on this team in the red zone, as Chris Gasper was explaining to us pregame yesterday, they're one of the worst teams in the league at running the ball once they got into the red zone.
Yeah.
They did a better job of that yesterday. Some of that does go to the offensive line. Some of it goes to Sony Michel. This is where I also think there was some new ground broken with him. Yesterday, he was the running game. Rex Burkhead had 4 carries. James White, not a single carry.
So you mean to tell me when they sent 26 in the game, it's probably going to be a run.
There were 28 carries by true running backs on the roster. 28. 24 of them went to Michel. 4 of them were Rex Burkhead. There was no split of the carries. He was the running game in a game that was physical against a good defense. And a good team.
Okay, so
that to me is a sign of progress.
Now,
when you go into a game and the game plan is Sony Michel is the guy who will do the running for us today.
Now, there's no Kareem Hunt.
Not Cordarrelle Patterson coming in for
it. You didn't need him. You need to.
He had one carry listed on the day, but
See, but in the matchup, though, next week, like, Patterson's type of guy going to use next week. Because you're going to need some of that stretching and smoke and mirrors with this defense, because I think there's stuff to make against this defense you're going to face. I don't get to Kansas City yet, but they just showed Damian Williams. I think he had the exact same number of yards that Michelle did. Same type of days. You know, like, Williams are going to run you over. Michelle's not going to run you over. But you could be productive. I'm just glad he made it through four quarters. I was nervous.
He did. He did not get hurt. He did not get hurt. That's on
mass.
Love you, Max. That was an odd prediction.
That was a weird one. I'll take the ones. Hey, he stays not physical, but like he ain't making it through the whole game. I didn't know we were playing the Ravens of like 09.
But we don't need to pile on. Matt will get served plenty of crow today from the callers.
No, oh, they'll be loading up.
It'll be
be entertaining.
As Murray said last night, it's going to be one of those days where you go,
Fox must listen, man.
Apologize. There's going to be a lot of that today.
How about the 40-yard run, though? That was me the most impressed. Not the fact that he gained 40 yards, but the way he set up the safety on the downfield block by David Andrews. Yeah. That little juke left, the safety sucked up, and he went off of Andrews' ass right, and he had a wide open speak up, 20 more yards on that because of that cut? One cut, one little move. He set that safety up. That was his move.
A lot of smart running in that game.
He had a good day.
Smart running for me.
I thought Trent Brown in this game, there were a lot of questions going in. It's his first playoff game. How's he going to react?
He played a lot better than he did in Pittsburgh.
Is he going to be physical? Can he say, yeah. Like, you saved a lot of money not paying the left tackle you had last year. You know, you moved on from Deion Lewis. You moved on from Nate Solder. Guys that I thought they should have taken care of. But not the dollar amount that they got taken care of at. But I thought they should address them, and there were key issues. But you replace him with a guy that's making less than $2 million on that left side that may make some money now.
Mark is in
New Hampshire. Some guys you're going to have to pay.
Hey, Mark.
What do you got?
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
So, you know, the one thing is I got to say, man, what a game. I mean, the team was total from special teams, defense, offense. I mean, they look like the old Patriots. You know, I was going to talk about something else, but one thing I got to say is, like, Max Kellerman is not giving enough credit to that offensive line and Brady. I mean, when you got someone like Boza and Ingram on either side, you don't need to blitz every time. I mean, those two guys, like you were saying, I mean, they're a little bit above Flowers. And our offensive line just, I mean, they tore them apart. And Gronk, I mean,
Kellerman's a gimmick. He does it for show now. He's looking for clickbait. He's looking for you to view, and he's viewing for you to attack and watch.
He does a good job at it.
Yeah, he stirs it up.
Yeah. We played it.
Yeah. One thing I definitely noticed, it seemed like they slowed down a little bit. I mean, what do you guys feel on that? I mean,
Who slowed down?
The Patriots offense?
The Patriots offense. I mean, Chargers starting to score a little bit. I mean, I don't think they were worried about it. Like I said, the lead was, 41-14, and all of a sudden they scored a little bit. I mean,
you operate differently.
You can see Brady staying in the huddle. He's staring at the clock, and they're talking, and they're trying to drain as much of that play clock as possible. Okay, so the clock then becomes your enemy more so than the team you're playing. And yeah, you can't play as fast. Like, you want to play fast, but you also know, okay, we got this thing.
Sure.
Now, and I said this, you know, fourth quarter, once it started, becomes about preservation of health. Let's not hang Edelman out to dry over the middle of the field. You know, let's not get another guy, you know, a head issue to where you get hit, like a Devin McCourty. Like, if Devin McCourty gets hit, dings his head, if you don't have 2 weeks, maybe he doesn't play the next week. That's, you know, it's all like you've got to now, I don't say, you don't say it to the team, we're going to protect guys, but kind of call the dogs off just a little bit. And that's what you do in the fourth quarter with a lead like that. It's normal.
Brandon's in Franklin. Brandon.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, so sum up comments on the game. It was absolutely incredible. I was extremely impressed with the defense. I think they played great basically throughout the whole game. Offense was great. Like you guys had mentioned earlier, going to James White, I think most people believed that it would be a big game for him. It was. I was really impressed with Sony Michel. But just one question I had, now that we can look towards, I guess, Kansas City and their preparing for Kansas City, what can you take away from this game that you think, what did you see in this game that you think could benefit or will give the Patriots more confidence in playing Kansas City next week?
Three things. I think Brady's health, as healthy as he's looked. Edelman is back to normal, even maybe stronger, if that makes any sense. And your offensive
stronger
line.
Stronger than when?
It's just the way he could lower the shoulder. Like, there was a first down he picked up on the left side.
Like, stronger than he was a month ago? Yeah. Stronger than he was before the injury?
Yeah, strong. Yeah, it's like, you know, maintaining the balance, you know, even on the right side, fighting for first downs, keeping his balance.
How great was he on the sideline fighting for those first downs?
You're getting tackled. Yeah.
Awesome.
Those are even more impressive than the big catches over the middle.
Well, how about that big hit he took over the middle?
Oh, Jesus. I said it too. It takes some stones.
Right?
Give me some of that.
Yeah.
Have what he's having.
Yes.
What's that movie?
I'm not doing Kansas City talk yet.
No.
I'm not doing it. Not today.
But things you take out of that game, you're like, whew.
Rob Gronkowski said they get one night to celebrate the win. We should at least be able to take a show here to not have to talk about Kansas City.
Yeah, they're in already getting ready. A lot of cars over there.
Corn, yeah, I saw. Yeah. Packed in there this morning. A lot of cars. Everybody was back in here early this morning.
You get a day off?
Who?
This week? Not you. I'm like, do they really?
I'm like,
you get excited by the performance and say, you know what? Let's work all week. I mean, you need a day.
Do you?
You get beaten up? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not like if they come, they're not going out practicing today. Not tomorrow.
Wonder if like today's the day off or tomorrow's still scheduled to see Wednesday. Yeah, I guess. Keep your structure.
Yeah,
keep
but tomorrow is still the normal day off.
It's a team you already played.
But I bet will be players in here voluntarily tomorrow.
Here's another thing, too. Like, the stuff we talked about last week where, we can't get our audiovisual team out there. Like, with the Chargers, like, you know what you are. You know what you do. Like, Josh knows what he does. They could switch gears. How much do you need to really study and implement?
Today's the players' day off. They're back tomorrow.
That's what I thought.
Oh, so then there's a lot of guys who are here here on their day off.
This is probably what Bill did.
Rehab and
there's a ton of
treatment
guys.
And all that.
Bill probably did. Players' day off tomorrow. You guys do what you want to do, but we're open.
Did you notice how many guys are here today?
Yeah.
I was stunned. I couldn't believe how many guys were already here. I'm like, oh, because they're at it early today. I mean, I know that's a big thing, right? Monday morning, right?
You should be excited this week. You're game away from the damn Super Bowl again.
Yeah, Slater speaks tomorrow in the locker room. So, yeah, in the media workroom, in the locker room. They have open locker room time tomorrow, none today.
All right. So it's a little different than usual. But there's plenty of guys here today working.
And remember, the league.
Doing whatever it is they
the
want to do.
The league dictates the media schedule this week because of championship week.
Right. Everybody's got to speak certain times. Yep.
And the team is leaving on Saturday, correct, Zell?
Team's leaving Saturday, yeah.
We had an emailer.
Yeah, it's not a far flight.
We had an emailer asking about that because there's a storm, possible storm, in Kansas City on Saturday.
Sunday night.
And then storm here on Sunday.
Yeah, it'd suck.
Damn Miami game. Damn it. Screwed that thing up. Should have been playing here.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Have to let that go. As hard as it is to let it go, we got to let it go. 617-779-0985. I've yet to do any real complaining about Philip Rivers today. I'll do it next, okay?
Yeah.
After headlines.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Philip, you're generally known as just a terrific competitor. Was there ever a point where you felt as if your competitiveness got to a level of frustration?
No, I don't think so. I think one thing I know, and thankfully I think we have a collective, it's a collective effort in this regard, is we're never going to quit. I don't care what the score is. We're going to play till that last second takes zero. And so I think that was it. I mean, maybe there's a little more emotion coming out at the end because you just hate that it's over.
She sits alone by a lamp. Trying to find a thought that's escaped her mind. She says there's the one I love.
This crybaby, Philip Rivers, bitching and moaning all day long. Shut up already.
You ruined the song.
Shut up and just get your team lined up at the line of scrimmage. Okay,
she Chief? Never lets me in.
Just do your job for like 5 minutes. Crying to the refs all day.
She knew it.
Crying about the Patriots secondary, crying about being touched by Patriots defenders, crying and whining.
Oh, got him a call. Eventually got him a call.
Day long. Good for him. He was down like 4 or 5 touchdowns when he finally got himself a call. Congratulations, buddy. You suck. Hall of Famer. There he is again. on a big stage yesterday.
But he never scored 0-8 versus Brady.
AFC title game. And what does he do? Comes in here and sucks. Completes less than 50% of his passes.
He had a lackluster warm-up, too.
Oh, he sucks.
He really did.
Guy doesn't have a Hall of Fame moment to write home about his entire freaking career.
I didn't want
to
get
a single one.
I didn't want to get fooled by the damn warm-up again. Yeah, you know, but there's another guy. Like, he's the leader. It's his team.
Tell
he's
me,
the veteran quarterback.
Find me the great playoff wins, or find me the great comebacks, or find me something. Something with this guy. Because with him, the history matters. It does.
Yeah.
And I said last week, I don't know what it counts for, but it counts for something. Because Philip Rivers, he's a choking dog. That's what he is. And, you know, you always hear I know this is one of Felger's favorite sayings, the every dog has his day. No, this guy's just straight dog. That's all he is. Dog. Never going to have his day. Because he's just not that good. He's not as good as you think he is. You know, could you do a lot worse than Philip Rivers? Yes, you could. But the complaining and the crying. How about you focus on not needing timeouts, first and goal to go, down 31 points? How about you focus on that? How about you focus on not having delay of game penalties? Is he any sort of leader on that team?
Well,
does he command that offense like a great quarterback should? Tell me, does he? No. The answer's no. You saw it on full display yesterday. It's why he sucks. It's why the Chargers have always sucked. I don't know why they get the credit that they've gotten over the last 15 years.
Oh, they've earned it this year.
Greatest team that never was. Oh, man. It always happens with these guys. Oh, the Chargers are great.
So you think that's a phantom team?
The Chargers,
you don't think that's a phantom team?
Phantom franchise, though. What have they ever done?
Well, that's different, the way you run the damn team.
What have they ever done with him as their quarterback?
They've assembled some talent. They've played well this year.
Jack Bleep.
Then you can say
Roethlisberger's broken through. He's won it twice.
Yeah. Oh, I'd put Roethlisberger ahead of him.
When's Phillip Rivers' day coming? It's not. Don't hold your breath.
That may have been it.
Don't hold your breath.
That could have been it.
You'll end up choking just like him.
That could have been it. I mean, you're going to lose guys because you get talent like that on the outside. People are going to want your people.
Choking fraud. San Diego Chargers.
See, I asked Bill this, too, in a pregame interview. I said, okay, you got Ron Torbert. Doing the game. You had him in the Green Bay game. You had him divisional round last year. And it's an assembled crew that gets graded, and it's a mixed crew. And you watch the games over the weekend. What did they do? They ate a lot of flags. Like, they'll let you play. There's going to be some contact. And I said, is it hard to get ready for this type of game, and do you have to adjust in-game based on how his crew's going to call this game? Because you could know going into the game, this crew throws the most holding penalties. Let's talk to the offensive line. He's like, it's got to be a field-type game. And I just think that Rivers didn't understand that, okay, it's a mixed crew, playoff game. They're going to be leery to throw stuff downfield. So right there, it's built into you. Get ready for contact.
Fraud franchise.
I mean, other than the mauling of Gronkowski, I thought there was contact on a lot of guys downfield, both sides. They let him play.
I mean, I don't know if everyone
should have been able to.
Do you remember when the Patriots ultimately lost at Indy in 2006?
Yeah,
right.
Vividly, I booked flights at halftime.
They were up 18 at halftime. We know how that went. I believe it was the worst. I felt worse after that one than I did after when the Patriots lost against the Giants in 07. I did. Like, that to me was just a stunning turn of events in the course of one football game where I can't even think about that
completely
game.
I agree.
That game bothers me to this day.
I agree.
That they blew that.
And that game,
Chicago waiting for them in the Super Bowl.
And that game and the way they blew that made 4th-and-2 in Indy that much more worse when Bill went for it.
I don't know why. I know the
stakes. Because it's Indy and it's Manning. It's the Brady Manning thing and the way that whole thing was building. And you knew it was going to be back and forth for how many years to come. And it sure was, man.
And so I know the stakes were much higher the next year, and they were a much better team the next year. And I get it, but for some reason, that loss just feels really bad, even to this day. I hate thinking about that game.
It's a collapse because it's a collapse.
I hate it. I hate that game.
You know why? Because the Giants that year, at least at that last game, they competed with you. They played hard. They played that game out. They didn't rest starters. They knew they didn't have the bye.
The week before.
That was a good game.
The week before was the comeback on the road at San Diego.
Yep.
And so, in retrospect, we look at that 2006 team and say, oh, God, they didn't have enough.
Of course they didn't. That's one of Brady's best years, I thought, because he made chicken salad with chicken bleep. You had Richey Caldwell as your number two guy.
They didn't have enough.
They didn't have anybody.
This is my way of going back and explaining where sort of my disrespect for the Chargers comes from.
Was it Dallas Clark? Eric Alexander? Did that end up happening
yes,
in that whole second
that
half?
Was that game. Yeah. That was that year.
Just
when you're trying to throw passes to Richey Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney. Okay? Like, that's that year. That's the team, though, that Philip Rivers and his Chargers managed to lose to at home. At home. With the Patriots, the undermanned Patriots, going across the country the other way.
Yeah, Troy, too. That's no disrespect to Troy and that grouping. Troy's a Patriot Hall of Fame.
No.
But Troy's the best receiver. Yeah?
No. I mean, Troy was playing defense.
Yeah. Like, Troy was doing everything
on that team. So, no, it's no disrespect to anybody.
No, but I don't sit there. You say chicken bleep and he's on team. You know what I mean? You know what
they were undermanned. They needed more. That's all. I'm not saying the players they had were bad. They had a lot of good names on that team.
But Brady carried their ass. That game, that year, Brady carried their
ass. They needed him to.
Yep.
And you know, you can make the case it was his best year. Not statistically, but his best year as quarterback of the Patriots. I've heard some people do that.
I do that.
But the Chargers that year were a good team. And the Chargers that year found a way to lose in the playoffs at home. Because, well, they're the Chargers. They were 14-2 that year, were they not?
Yeah.
Yeah, 14-2. 14-2. They had the bye. And then in their first playoff game, they lose at home to the Patriots. 14-2 with a bye at home. Undermanned Patriots go there and came back and won and found a way to win. Because they're Philip Rivers and the Chargers. I've never respected them. I've never liked them.
Sorry, ass corner.
I don't find him to be a likable guy. They had a bunch of a-holes on that Chargers team. Sean Merriman. Clown show.
Maryland.
Huh?
He went to Maryland. I like him.
That clown. They're a clown team. They're a fraud franchise. And it's never going to change. They will always be that team. And he will always be that guy. And that dog is never going to have his day. Just nothing but a dog. Choking dog is what Philip Rivers is. So that I needed to get that out. Okay? Sounds of Sunday coming up next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Huh?
He went to Maryland. I like him.
That clown. They're a clown team. They're a fraud franchise. And it's never going to change. They will always be that team. And he will always be that guy. And that dog is never going to have his day. Just nothing but a dog. Choking dog. Is what Philip Rivers is. So that I needed to get that out. Okay? Sounds of Sunday coming up next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Hello, football, my old friend. I'm sitting watching you again. The games on Sunday are my favorite thing. But when the guys who are announcing say something stupid, we will make fun of them Monday. And so we play all the sounds of Sunday.
Wow, we go to the original for the playoff sounds of Sunday.
It's still the best.
I like it.
Yeah.
Original is still the best.
Okay. It's like grown-ups. You don't need grown-ups too. You're not going to need a grown-ups 3. You just stick with the original.
That's right. That's,
remember how bad
that's
Josh,
exactly what I thought.
Josh 3 was? Yeah.
Oh, Josh
with the
3D.
Lewis Gossett Jr. underwater.
Josh 2 is the one where the shark bites the electrical wire at the end. Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Got the underwater cable.
Yeah, the cable.
Yeah.
Ah. I thought it was one.
No, that was two.
I shot the tank in the first one. That's right.
All right, let's go. Right. Sounds.
Yeah, here we go.
That's Jim's got mouth. What's Jim love? Pissed the kibbutz again. Go.
Rams Radio, final call of their win over the Cowboys.
Final knee from Jared Goff. Sean McVay, the youngest coach in NFL history to win a postseason game.
the story of the week in the NFL. Who is the next Sean McVay? Not the Rams' concern. They've got the original. They've got the win. 30-22 over the Dallas Cowboys. Next stop, the NFC Championship game.
Sean McVay getting...
Hope they get their ass kicked.
Oh, my God.
They've got the original Sean McVay.
It's
not one of those knockoff brand McVays.
It's not about the players. It's not about the other coaches. It's Sean McVay. What do you say? What a Sunday. Saturday. Whatever.
Excellent play.
Whatever it is.
Whatever day, it's Sean McVay. Good grief. They're as insufferable as everybody else.
Yeah, they're buying into the same bullcrap that other people are.
That's did you hear the NBA jams during their game? Just constant music the entire time.
Yeah.
It's like their flow, and that's how they roll. Go.
Moving on, Chiefs radio, final call of their win over the Colts. When did this take place? Like second quarter? And like the...
Fourth down, and the Colts will have one more snap. 10 seconds to go in this game if they can get the playoff. Fourth down and three. I'm not sure the Colts will get it off. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. They're trying to snap, but they won't get it done. The Kansas City Chiefs have beaten the Indianapolis Colts. And Andy Reid's big red revival and Patrick Mahomes' revolution continues.
All right, I'm done. I'm done with the tags. This is something weird coming out of there because... You don't make fun of Kansas City because they've been around the block. Original uniforms, Lamar Hunt.
Uniforms.
Same stadium. You know what I mean? They don't change. It ain't Jacksonville. Now it's Andy Reid's revival.
Big red revival.
Big red revival.
The Patrick Mahomes revolution. Right. So we got revival, revolution, right. And Chiefs kingdom.
You're hitting them all. Yep, you're hitting all the points here.
And now, the Chiefs kingdom will host the AFC championship for the first time ever. The Chiefs have beaten the Colts 31-13.
Let's blow up the castle.
Storm the castle. Good luck storming the castle.
Cue the drawbridge. The natives are coming.
Woo. All right. Let's go to Patriots Radio. The pregame flyover. Now, Beetle and I, you and I were trying to like lean forward and see this. We couldn't see it.
No. This sound that you're about to play though is during their practice run.
Oh, this is the practice run.
So we're on the sideline. Okay. Someone and I are doing one of the final segments of pregame. And two of them, all four came over two at a time on a practice run.
Only plus one in the turnover this year for the Chargers. I think
there's planes.
That is badass.
Yeah,
that
I think really cool. F-15's flying. Oh, there's two more of them.
There's two more.
This is awesome.
That's a pregame warm-up.
Sorry,
get to fly.
Oh, man, that's cool. I love fighter planes.
Everybody's like, what's that rumbling? People are like, wow, America right there, man.
That's cool. I think those look like F-18s.
Flex it.
Pretty cool.
You can see the Russians doing that. None of these games take place in Russia either. That's why we're here.
It feels like it could be Russia here today.
Not to bring Russia.
Yeah, it's cold enough.
Yeah, it feels like Moscow.
I'll tell you what. If you're in this crowd today, I hope you brought a bottle of the vodka in with you.
I
didn't hear the part where you said it feels like Moscow.
You know they got those big.
By the way, I was.
Did you watch Rocky IV?
I was just as bad as you were with this. I was totally distracted.
No, they were close, dude.
Like,
and they were on edge. Like they turned sideways and did the barrel. Like, whoa! That's why.
This is awesome.
Whoa.
This is awesome. A pregame warm-up.
Sorry, get
to fly.
Oh, man, that's cool. I love fighter planes.
Everybody's like, what's that rumbling? People are like, shut up, Gas.
I love fighter planes.
Taking away for the moment.
All three of us sound like a bunch of idiots.
You don't see that in Russia. You only see, like, their May Day parade.
Gas for sound like a nine-year-old.
Every bullet, every missile, every gun, every tank, and parade that through the streets of Moscow.
They wouldn't let him have it.
We get that space program up and running yet? Super space or whatever?
We don't have any programs up and running right now.
Well, you got more?
I got Philip Rivers picked up on the refs mic.
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, this is prototypical Philip Rivers.
Oh, my God. Polly Pissy Pants the entire game.
The penalty marker, however, is down in the secondary, shy of the 10-yard line.
Prior to the pass.
What a pitch.
They do it every play.
Prior to the pass, holding. Defense, number 24. Automatic first down.
You hear Rivers yelling?
Yep, we did.
Here we go. Yeah, all right, it's a little back and forth now.
You hear Rivers yelling? On Gilmore, and you can hear Rivers say they do it every time in the open mic of Ron Torber.
He hasn't changed since 2006. I'm looking.
He keeps it clean, though, so.
That's
never swears.
No bad words. Zoe had a question for Bob Soucy late in the game.
Okay.
We're going to eat in Kansas City, buddy. Q39 barbecue's pretty good.
We're going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here we come.
At times I feel like I'm working a 75-year-old.
Those aren't the lyrics.
I'm going to Kansas City. Yes, it's Kansas City. Here we come. You're going to Kansas. Yeah, it is. It's an old-timer song. Yes.
No, I know the song.
No.
We're going to Kansas City. Right? Kansas City, here we come.
They he would screw that up.
Got some no crazy way, little women there, and I'm going to get me one.
He didn't say that. Q39 barbecue's pretty good.
We're going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here we come. We'll watch the AFC Championship game next week. Patriots and the Chiefs.
I'm staring at him at this point. Like, I just stare at him like, did you write that down? He had that ready to go. That's an easy one there. It's like Kansas City, like New York.
That's right.
Finally in the post game.
Of course he's right.
Yeah, he's right.
Never wrong.
He's totally right.
Zoe made an appearance at the post game press conference, as he sometimes does, to ask a question of
he's always there.
Belichick or Brady.
Yeah.
All right, so here's your question for the quarterback.
You realize 13-year-old kids in New England know nothing else than AFC Championship weekend. I don't know how old your oldest is. He's what, 11, 12?
11.
11. So, you know, yeah. So you talk about...
just a quick thing on the math here.
So are you doing that to say that you can only know of an AFC championship once you turn 5 years old?
Yeah.
Because
pretty much.
It was eight straight.
I got screwed up because it was 13. So I'm thinking in the back of my mind, 13
of 18.
It's
13
eight straight
of 18.
For him.
Yeah. The question to come is going to be about winning so many in a row and being back in there, right? That's the follow-up.
Well, yeah, I'm waiting for
right?
Another question. Let's see.
You would think, right, that would be a natural way to ease yourself into. So tell me, you know, what are the challenges of having to, you know, to be back in this game every single year, right?
Right. Okay, this is only 17 seconds long. Let's listen to it uninterrupted here. Zoe's time in the press conference.
You realize 13-year-old kids in New England know nothing else than AFC Championship weekend. I don't know how old your oldest is. He's what, 11, 12?
11.
11. So, you know, yeah. So, you talk about a guy like Sonny Michel. You know, there was a lot of talk going this game. I don't know how a rookie's going to respond.
Brand new. But he's been at so
offensive line to have the running game.
Talk about Sonny Michel.
He's the newest. How was your post game with Hart and Perillo?
Oh, it was great.
Doozy, huh?
Do you guys want to know how old?
They had to be thrilled.
Oh, my God. Those two are absolutely tapped. First of all,
punching walls?
Andy Hart is so paranoid, he thinks I'm stealing his takes to repurpose on this show during the week. That is a legit concern of his.
Shut up.
And number two, when we're going through the, you know, the good, the bad, and the injured, and I'm like, what about James White? And Paul's like, eh. Like, you don't think James White was any good in this game? I'm like, we talked about it in the pregame. It's like, you get the ball to James White, you win the game. That's been the motto all season long. You know, you either throw it to him or you let him run it, and you're going to win the game. I don't think he was. He said, I wouldn't even put him in top 10 reasons why they won the game. So what?
What?
I said, James White is not in the top. No, not in
top
10.
Didn't watch a game?
He goes, no, Brady is more important. Edelman's more important. I said, okay, that's two.
That's two.
Okay,
so
you've got eight more to go. And then by the time he gets down to like rattling off, you know, the secondary as a whole, I'm like, no.
Phil Tonji doing the show with Adam Jones.
Individual players.
Well,
he finally came off of it, but oh my God. All three of us were ready to kill each other by
Sony
20
Michel,
minutes in.
To tie that all together for you, so Sony Michel was six years old when Tom Brady played in his first AFC Championship game at Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Six.
Wow.
It's a good question, though, so.
Thanks, so, yeah. Talk about a guy like Sonny Michel.
Turn a stupid thing off. Is that it, Artie?
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is the Sounds of Sundays.
I punch him in the head tomorrow.
Oh, don't do that.
I love
it. Sounds of Sunday.
I love it.
We've got headlines here with Artie, and we're right back for Foxborough.
Nice.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.